Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. The doctor is in. Which is it? It's a mashup. That's what it is. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest this hour. Your calls are welcome. The phone lines will probably be overwhelmed, so start dialing now. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. You know Dr. Ray from his worldwide radio program, The Doctor Is In. You know him from all the TV work that he has done and from the many, many... You probably have seen him in person because he does a lot of public speaking. As a matter of fact, a month or so ago, he was telling me about how much he used to do, and it was wild. And it's a lot. So a lot of people have seen Dr. Ray in person. Now he's got a new book out called Taught by 10, A Psychologist's Father Learns from His 10 Children. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you for being with us.
Si, thanks for having me. By the way, I learned the secret to do a lot of public speaking.
And that is?
You can't worry about being very good.
Okay, yeah.
I think that's the
low
secret.
Standards
okay.
Is the key.
That's pretty much where it is.
I wonder if that is the case.
You get them low enough, you really don't have to worry at all.
I don't know, because I am a very poor public speaker, and I don't have a lot of public speaking dates, and I have very low standards, very low.
I have had people request, "How do I get a hold of Cy?" I've had that. And I said, he doesn't use verbs. So if you want to have him, you're going to have to go without verbs.
Well, no, for extra. For a little bit, you throw a little extra at me. And there'll be verbs in there.
Get the active verbs in there, huh?
Yeah, right. The number is 888-318-7884. I thought when I saw the title, Taught by 10, the first time I saw it, I thought, oh, this is going to be about how by the time a child is 10, you've already formed them. But now I realize, no, the person who was taught by 10 was you. 10 people to raise you to the full adult that you are now.
Well, if I would have written it some years ago, it would have been taught by 3. Then taught by 5,
yeah.
Then taught by 9. I had to wait to get to 10 because I like the alliteration aspect of the whole title.
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of it is relating the experiences, which are beautiful and fantastic and sometimes hilarious. But what did you want to say about, I mean, in other words, this is not kind of the Dr. Ray I expect. You're the father. You are the parent. You have the wisdom. They benefit from you. How is it that you wrote a book about how you benefited from them raising you?
Well, I didn't want to be shallow, but I was originally going to title it Tax Deductions by 10. I thought that. There for a while, I paid no taxes, you know.
Right.
I was okay, I got to preface this for your audience. I used to do regularly the Jerry Springer show. Now I know, I see the look on your face. Hold on a second. Back in the early days of Springer, he was legitimate. He was a magazine type format with decent subjects. It wasn't a problem. The last time I was on his show, the topic was raising teenagers. The producer said, "Ray, would you come on? And we want you and Jerry to kind of co-host the show." That's fine. There was another lady on there with me. I made the suggestion that I thought essays for disrespect were a good consequence. Oh, she bristled at that side. She turned to me and she said, "Do you have any children?" And I said, "Well, yes, I have 6. That's what we had at the time. And the audience, the Jerry Springer audience, which was turning into the Jerry Springer audience by this time, turned to her and was like, in your face, woman.
Yeah.
So then she wasn't to be deterred. She said, "Are any of them teenagers?" And I said, "Not yet." The audience turned on me, in your face. She and the audience were operating out of a myth. The myth is you have to experience what someone else is experiencing to give them valid advice.
Yeah.
Now, in the book, I said, I have credibility because I have 10 children. And many people say that when they introduce me, they'll say, "You know, he's a psychologist for 40 years, but his main piece of validity is he is a father of 10. That really isn't, but yet at the same time, you still can learn bits and pieces and stories that illustrate good points from 10 kids.
Again,
they'll force it.
Say that again, the last part.
They'll force it on you.
Yeah.
You may not want to learn it, but you're going to have to learn it.
888-318-7884, the number. Did you have the experience of you knew things maybe from your training as a psychologist or from some books or something that you knew that there's the right way to do it, and then you had to learn from the kids that ain't going to work, that is not going to cut it?
I'll give you a little secret. 90% of what I know as a shrink, I did not learn getting a PhD.
Yeah.
I learned it in the world of real parents and real kids and real people. So much of that I took into my family life. Now, here's the problem. Much of what modern psychology says does not work in real family life. I'll give you a small example. Psychology says that, in fact, you don't use timeouts. You don't use anything that isolates a child. That's shaming, that's demeaning, that's punishment. You reason with the child. You get down on their level and you explain to them. And of course, Cy, they're going to say, why, thank you, Father.
Yes.
I hadn't realized that this was such a reasonable approach to yes. living my life. Let's hold hands and sing Kumbaya around the campfire. So my wife and I use the corners. Very simple, very easy. Nothing fancy. We had at one point, Cy, 10 kids under 12, okay? I didn't go home. I UPS my wife things. I said, how's it going, honey? Hope things are going good for you.
Right.
But we used the corner. Now, one of the problems with using the corner is even though you have a lot of them, you only have four in each room. So we would have corner backlogs. You know, I had to give out sheets of paper. Show up next Wednesday, 2 a.m., you got corner time.
Oh, yeah.
Because we just were backlogging the corners. But we learned something about discipline. The simpler it is, the more likely we are to do it. The more likely we are to do it, the better it works.
Yeah.
The better it works, the less we have to do it. That's simple. When you got that many kids, you got to make it easy.
Yeah, right. And I got that from reading some of this book from Sophia Institute Press, by the way.
Wait. Yes. For a second there, Cy, I thought you said some of this book.
Yeah.
Was that this interview is over.
I don't
get respect.
I didn't read the numbers at the bottom of the pages. I didn't look at that.
Okay. 888. That's a venial sin to lie like that. You know that.
Probably. 888-318-7884, the number. But one of the things I do take away from this is that there is probably by action, but also sometimes just by the expression on your face, the parent does establish authority. And this seems to be a very important thing that you gotta be the parent. You gotta have that parental authority. So I suppose that there's practical stuff in here too. From how do kids teach you what establishes authority and what undermines your authority?
Me being a radio personality like yourself, do I have enough time to give you a vignette before we have to go to a break?
Oh, you do. Yes, definitely. Yeah.
We adopt. My 10 children are adopted, and we adopted my son John when he was 4. He was never made to go to bed. He roamed the house. He caused problems. So the first weekend visit to our house, my weasel wife says, Raymond, why don't you put the children to bed tonight? And I said, honey, I'll give you $100 if you do it. I don't have time for that. I'm writing a parenting book. So she gave me that look, and I said, okay, guys, let's go, heading for bed. Now, at that point, we had 6-5-4-4-3-1. Everybody came running except Johnny. Johnny stared at me. No, go bed. Had a little language delay. I'm not a big guy, Cy, but I've been a weightlifter all my life. And one thing I do know for sure, that I am stronger than the biggest, baddest 4-year-old in the whole world. The child is going to bed. So I picked him up. I carried him to bed. I put him in bed and I held him. I mean, he couldn't move. We had said prayers. We had brushed teeth. We had done the bedtime ritual and I just held him. said, Johnny, it's bedtime, son. Daddy is not going to let you move until I decide you're going to stay. And please do not get up after I leave, because I will come back. You should have seen the look in his face, Si. He looked at me like, I went from Disney World to the county jail. How long do you think I had to hold that boy? Now, keep in mind, here's a kid who resisted bedtime for over 2 years.
Yeah.
How long do you think I had to hold that boy before, like a deflated balloon, he went...
6 hours.
1 minute.
Really? Because you had to establish
it. Here's
why. Yeah.
I had to establish it. Had the foster parents tried that, you're absolutely correct. It would have been 6 hours. Because his view of them over 2 years is no authority, no authority. He knew I was going to be daddy. We'd visited many times. But he didn't quite know how to read me. It looked to his little four-year-old mind that this guy means it.
Yeah.
This guy is going to make me stay in bed no matter what he has to do. By the way, my six-year-old son was watching the scenario. Andrew, would you talk to your brother John, please? Johnny, if daddy says go to bed, you better go to bed. I remember one time I didn't go to bed. You're not going to like what's going to happen, Johnny. You know that? You think he's going to leave, Johnny? He's not going to leave. He's going to go out in the hallway, and he'll wait for you, Johnny. You better not. I said, Andrew, that's enough. You sound like mom. So you're absolutely right. We learned so early. You must establish authority early, which is ultimately very kind, because you don't get into these discipline brawls with kids. You know, you go to confession. Bless me, Father. You know, before I had children, I was pretty nice. Now I'm not pretty nor nice. Is it a serious sin to want to shoot a bazooka at your child? That's what happens. If you don't have authority, you get ugly.
Yeah, right. Is that what's portrayed as some kind of overbearing, negative parenting by much of the modern thinking is actually just a simple kindness to the child. The child then doesn't have to worry about what's going to happen at bedtime. They know what's going to happen at bedtime. We all go to bed.
Lack of authority is cruel because it leads to agitation on both parties.
That's the Dr. Ray that you know and love. Give him a call if you got a question. 888-318-7884. If your questions aren't good, I'll just keep talking to him. 888-318-7884. The new book.
If my answers aren't good, I'm not going to take your questions.
Okay, fair enough. Taught by 10, a psychologist father learns from his 10 children. This is the Dr. Ray book you want. It's available now from Sophia Institute Press. 888-318-7884.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
There is tremendous power in prayer, because when we acknowledge that we don't have the power, but God does, things then begin to move for our good. Remember Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Now that's power.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. 888-318-7884. We're talking to Dr. Ray Guarendi. You know him from The Doctor Is In and from many other places. Taught by 10, a psychologist father learns from his 10 children is the latest book from Sophia Institute Press. You can get it wherever you get good books. 888-318-7884. The number if you want to talk to Dr. Ray here. 888-318-7884. I was monopolizing my time during the break, however, to learn from him because he's a weightlifter from a very young age. And I have never been a weightlifter. And I was telling Dr. Ray that everybody keeps telling me that as you get older, it's good to do this weight training. And so I got the weights and everything. I just need to find out how to use them. So you were going to give me some advice. Now you're just going to have to do it on the air.
Absolutely. Let's do it. Okay. First of all, the research is overwhelming. The older you get, the more you need to strengthen up your joints, your muscles, your balance, everything. Here's the bad news. You lose muscle tissue roughly about 1%. You peak out in your 30s, but 1% a year after that, you lose muscle tissue. However, if you strength train, you can not only recoup a lot of that, but you can delay it. Now, I'm going to give you some more good news. If you start out, say your age, which I think you're what, 34, something like that, 34?
Yes, plus 24.
I just took an estimate.
Throw in an entire lifetime for another person, and yes, I'm 34.
Yes, okay. This is as old as you've ever been. Okay, there were 34 candles on your cake, and that was a piece you had. Alrighty, so if you start lifting within 2 months, you will double your strength. Because the main gains occur early. For someone who has never lifted, if you lift. Now, you don't have to be fancy. Just simply go to some place for twice a week, maybe 1 hour, do your whole body. Okay, work your chest, work your legs, work your arms, work your back, do your whole body. One or two sets of each exercise to exhaustion. You gotta go to exhaustion. You can't sit there and do a rep of 10 and still have 7 left in you. Okay,
yeah.
You got to go to exhaustion. You will double your strength, maybe triple it. Okay, we have a friend of ours started lifting. He was 50 years old when he started lifting with us. Now he's 60 and he's lifting and he is now, I'd say, 4 times as strong as he was. He's stronger than I am now because he's bigger than me. So that's what can happen. I have a 73-year-old friend who lifts. He just did 70-pound dumbbells on the bench. That's one hand, 70 pounds, 22 times. The average 30-year-old cannot do 30 pounds 22 times. So just some pointers for you.
All right.
You don't have to kill yourself.
No, I like using the show to get my needs met. That's the primary reason we have this show.
Yeah, appreciate
that. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. Could I become strong enough, for example, to be impervious to bullets?
If they're those little rubber ones, those things that kind of like soft pellet bullets. Yeah.
Right. The ones that they used to shoot at me when I was protesting in the streets in the 80s. No, I don't want to get hit by those.
Those sting.
Yeah.
They sting.
888-318-7884. Are you going to let me go to the phones, Edgar? All right. Well, tell her I'm coming to the phones. Tell her stop talking to you and she got to talk to Dr. Ray. All right. Elizabeth in Oklahoma. You are next, Elizabeth. Thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Yes,
hi.
I have a question. I have a nephew that his parents, I think because he's the youngest one, he really never, they never really disciplined him. So when they need to discipline him and he doesn't want to do it, they just, he doesn't care. He's really disrespectful and even sometimes get aggressive, like throwing things. My question is, how can I help my sister with this?
Elizabeth, you want the good news or you want the bad news? I'm going to give you the bad news first. This is not your child. So therefore, you're going to have a harder time giving advice to your sister who may not want to hear it. That's first thing. The good news is if your sister is frustrated and she tells you how frustrated, and here's another problem. She probably thinks she's just got this horrible child that nobody could raise. And that's not true. Most of the time, it is the parents allowing this over the years. So if she comes to you with frustration, you ask her, do you like it this way? And she'll say, no, I don't. Then you say, well, I have some ideas if you'd like them. Yes, please, anything. You give her this idea. You tell her to pick her favorite piece of discipline, whatever it is, writing sentences, laying on his bed, standing in the corner, doing an hour's worth of chores, whatever it is. And as soon as he refuses, as soon as he throws a fit, you simply take away all his privileges. Everything gone. Everything. That means his favorite foods. That means his favorite sweatshirt. That means outside. That means friends. That means any kind of technological devices. That means dessert. That means money supply. That means he packed his own lunch for school until he complies. Now, from what you're describing, it doesn't sound like she's going to do that. But at least you can say, I tried. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. Dr. Ray's new book, Taught by 10, A Psychologist Father, learns from his 10 children, available now from Sophia Institute Press. You're welcome to call with your questions, 888-318-7884. Don't let the title psychologist throw you off. He's pretty good at what he does.
Si, you know one of the best things I learned?
What's that?
Well, the shrinks tell parents that you have to respect an adolescent's desire not to be seen with you in public, not to be touched by you in public, not to be affectionate in public, not to in any way show that you're the parent who loves them. That's what the shrinks say. That is absolute, raw, stinking nonsense. My son Peter was 16 years old. He played basketball at the local high school. Before the games, I sat about four seats up in the bleachers, and I waited till a proper moment before game. I walked down, I grabbed my son, I hugged him, and I kissed him on the cheek, right there in front of everybody, because I'm Italian, and you are not going to tell me, son, that your dad cannot hug you right, and not give you a kiss on the cheek because you're 16 and you're setting the rules. That's not going to happen. And you know what he said to me later? First of all, Petey liked it. But he said, Dad, I had a couple of my friends come up to me and say, I wish my dad would do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There was no way my children were not going to let me be affectionate to them in public. Not at all. Never going to happen.
Somehow parenting didn't get better with all the media we have, with all the parenting experts, with all the television and the radio and all. Parenting didn't get better. We do dumb things like neglect our children because some psychologist told you don't hug them and kiss them in public.
Yes, it has. My first book was titled You're a Better Parent Than You Think.
Yeah.
And it was written because of all the insecurity among parents, all the second guessing, all the guilt, all the worry that they're not being psychologically enlightened. And so as a consequence, what has happened is that parenting's become a formula. And if you don't apply the right formulas, then obviously you're doing it wrong. Si, you know as well as I do, among very faithful Catholic families, they have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 kids, right? And I know they hear from other parents, I don't know how you do it. I can't even handle the two that I have. And those parents don't realize what they're saying. They are saying, I don't have enough parental control of my children to even imagine more than one or two. And that two generations ago, parents did not say that.
Yeah, because they didn't feel that. They didn't feel that lack of confidence.
No.
They were in charge.
They were the parent.
Yeah. Steph in Canton, Ohio, listening on Living Bread Radio. I think that might be the home radio station.
That's my hometown. Yeah. Hi, Steph.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Hey, are you coming to the taping
to
on
you,
next week?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Are you coming to the taping, Living Right with Dr. Ray? We're taping it at Walsh University next week.
I heard about that. I have considered doing that.
Well, I've talked to a lot of people, Steph, and they all pretty much agree. You're the one who most needs it. Yeah, okay.
I do.
I saw the petition. What's up, Steph?
Well, we have a child. He's had some difficulties throughout his years, and we've had trouble keeping him in school. He, of course, went through the whole COVID thing, and so now his first year in high school, he went one day and said, nope, I'm not going.
Oh, what have you done about that?
Well, we went through everything that I felt like we were supposed to do. We went through the school resources, and we went through the what I thought was the city resources, and we found out that the city of Canton doesn't prosecute for truancy, So
not anymore.
There's not a whole lot you can do since COVID happened, and we were extremely frustrated.
Steph, I totally disagree. Hold on here, Steph. Hold on. I got a question.
I got
a bunch of questions. Please just answer yes or no. Stephanie, yeah, don't leave us. Don't leave me, Steph.
Hang on, Stephanie. Dr. Ray's got some questions for you when we come back, but we got to do this break, Steph. So thanks for the call. Hey, there's two lines open right now, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with more with Dr. Ray Guarendi on Catholic Answers Live right after this. The recent decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade was a monumental victory for the pro-life movement. But the fight is far from over. With our new booklet, Why We're Pro-Life, we have produced the perfect tool to prepare you to have peaceful and convincing conversations to shed light on the truth about human life from conception to natural death. Catholic Answers is printing millions of copies of this booklet, and we plan simply to give them away. You can help us in two ways. First, by generously supporting this project. 25 cents prints one book. $2,500 prints 10,000, and so on. Second, by helping us distribute the booklet through your parish, your school, or the pro-life ministry you work with. Catholic Answers is going to blanket the country with Why We're Pro-Life. But only if you step up and help us. Thank you so much. For more information, visit whyweareprolife.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity in The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As Catholic apologetics have gotten stronger, Protestant responses have gotten stronger as well. And now they have their own answers to rebut the standard Catholic proofs. Don't fret, we've got you covered. In his new book, Meeting the Protestant Response, apologist Carlo Broussard gives well-reasoned biblical answers to Protestant comebacks. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Response today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Matt Swaim here. Tomorrow on the Sunrise Morning Show, we'll celebrate the Feast of St. Luke the Evangelist and get you all the latest news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Steph's on the line, Canton, Ohio. With some questions about her child who will not go to high school. Dr. A, you had some questions for Steph.
Steph has a young man who went one day his freshman year in high school. So Steph tried to go through the various organizations for some help, and they all basically told her, hey, you can't do anything about it. Stephanie, you certainly can.
Yes.
Several questions.
I know.
All right, wait a minute.
That's why I came here to ask you.
All righty, my dear. One, does he have any kind of smartphone or computer or technological devices?
Well, part of the issue is he did decide to go to online school, so we cannot take the computer away. We bought cell phones this year for all the kids just because we wanted to get rid of the home phone.
Steph, you're hedging.
Hedging
terribly.
He did not get his. He has not gotten his yet.
Okay.
The other kids got theirs because they are going to church and they're going to school.
Stephanie, do you want him in school or not?
He hasn't gotten his phone yet.
Do you want him in school?
Yes.
Okay. Then get rid of the online. And you simply say you have no privileges of any kind until you are back in school. That means you're going to live here with, you'll have our love and you'll have some kinds of food, But you have nothing. You have no privileges. If we go out to eat, you watch. You're going to make a sandwich from home. You have no money supply. You have no technical, nothing that is your favorite stuff. You have nothing. At age 14, you cannot say, I refuse to go to school. That's not going to happen.
I understand that. And we've done basically everything we felt we could, but we feel he needs an education. And
well,
he's
of
doing
course.
Online
and
school.
Well, okay, then the question is this. If you're satisfied with online school, then let it go. But here's my prediction. I think you're going to have trouble keeping him following up on online school, too. Because when you have a kid who resists school that badly, they typically find ways to drag their feet even on online school. So if you think online school is a good substitute, go for it. But if it comes to the point where he's absolutely refusing to cooperate in any kind of educational setting, then you have to decide, all right, well, we're going to basically shut down everything you have as privileges at everything. That means everything.
Okay, I get that. But we need, I feel like he needs some help.
Okay,
How do we convince him? Stephanie, I'm going to move on here.
I'm going to move on because we could do therapy,
okay.
and I don't want to drag you into therapy. Parents say this all the time.
Okay.
They say, if I have a child who's extremely resistant, obviously there's something wrong with him internally. He needs help. I'm going to give you a dirty little secret. With defiant adolescents, therapy doesn't work well at all. Because their view is it's the rest of the world that's wrong, not me. So what has happened is he's basically told you, I refuse. And you, and if you're married, your husband have said, well, okay, we'll let you refuse. If you do that, then you're letting him call the shots. And at this point, I'm going to tell you, Steph, I've been doing this for a long time. What typically happens in situations like this, it only gets worse. It just gets worse. You're going to have to decide what you want to do. Now, I'll tell you what some parents will do, then I'm going to let you go. Some parents go straight to juvenile court. Even though the school says we won't press charges for truancy, they go to juvenile court and they say our child is defiant and unruly. Juvenile court steps in, puts him on probation, and then says you need to obey your parents and go to school. At that point, if he says no, then they step in some more. So I've seen parents do that. I'm not telling you to do it, but I've seen that as an option. Thanks, Stephanie. I'll talk to you.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. Lots of folks on the line. Onward we go back to Ohio. This one from Kathy in Ohio, listening to
EW. I'm fixing the whole state.
Pretty soon. No parenting problems in Ohio soon. Kathy's listening.
You can go out to eat in peace in a restaurant.
EWTN on Channel 130 Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Kathy, go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Dr. Ray, at first I just want to thank you. You know me. We go way back. Our children were in, we were in a support group together. Our firstborn, or my secondborn, with cleft lip and palate.
Kathy, and how are you?
We're doing very well. Thanks to you.
Well, your kids
Dr.
were
Ray,
great
really
kids.
Did. Well, thank you. You helped us to see that and to work with them. And now those, my kids have four, we have eight grandchildren. They each have four. The eighth one's on and to be born in March. So we feel like there's a lot of fruit in our 40 years of marriage. Thank you, God. You were a big part of it, Ray, because we wanted to buy into all of you at the time, but we probably did maybe 50%. And I think that was a lot to help raise our kids. And now I feel like, not that we failed, because I know they're making choices, but I just wish that I could give them, this is what we did with you. I try to say that, but they're doing some, I don't know, they're in this culture. You see it, I'm sure. But I just struggle with what am I want to say things
okay.
But I can't. And so when do you
all
get
right.
to say anything?
Well, this is a situation that is the number one point of conflict between mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws. Likely, the daughter-in-laws don't want to hear anything you have to say. Kathy, when was the last time they came to you and said, Kathy, can I ask you a question about how to handle, and they wanted to hear it? Does that happen, Kathy?
Never.
I know, of course. Are you familiar with the advice given to mother-in-laws on their daughter-in-law's wedding day? It is called sit up, shut up, and wear beige. And that's good advice to grandmas. You see what's going on. You see how they're making it difficult. You see how they, in fact, are not instructing their kids in the kind of moral base that you wish they would have. You see all this. But the problem is, if you're not asked for your advice, you know as well as I do, it's likely not to be well received. So you've even had experience, I'm sure, of giving advice, and you thought, uh-oh, that wasn't good. Okie dokie. So my suggestion, Kathy, and this is what my wife and I do too, we shut our mouths unless we are asked. And if we are asked, we hand them a form from our attorney that says, sign this, giving us permission to speak as grandparents. Kathy, basically shut.
So I can't give them your book, You're a Better Parent Than You Think? That's like,
well, now, wait, let's not get carried away here.
You can buy and give as many Dr. Ray books as you want.
Exactly right. That's right. You're not saying anything. You're just handing them stuff.
I pray about that. But I know, first of all, do I think they're ever going to take time to read anything? They're so busy.
No.
Everyone's full time.
Probably not. Yeah. Probably not.
Yeah.
Here's what will happen. It's like I told Elizabeth. It's when they get frustrated, Kathy. When they get frustrated, then maybe they'll come to you as an experienced mother, express their frustration, and you'll have an opening to say something. Say something really supportive like, well, you big dummy, I was waiting when you were going to come to me. You know, something very soft and affirming.
Kathy, I'm going to leave it there because I got to go to a break. One thing I do agree with you, though, 50% of Dr. Ray is a lot. And we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
I don't like the way you said that.
Right back with more Dr. Ray right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
One time somebody said to me, why don't you air these people? And I said, no, because I don't think they're Catholic. He says, by what right do you have to say that? I said, I own the network.
Mother Angelica Live Classics, tomorrow night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Television and Radio.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kelly, your host. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. The doctor is in. You have heard many times on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Maybe you've gotten to see Dr. Ray in person. He's got a new book, Taught by 10, A Psychologist Father Learns from His 10 Children. It's out now from Sophia Institute Press. I hope you will get it. And Dr. Ray, you are a lucky man. You are a blessed man because you will be speaking to the Chaldean community here in San Diego in a few days. I'm really glad you're coming. You'll be here Friday to talk to them. And I hope lots and lots of people will come out for that. That is a great community.
Yeah, if they go to my website, which is drray.com, Jeanne d'Arc is the lady that's orchestrating all this, and her number's there if you want to contact her. And she can just say, yeah, come on out, 7 o'clock. Which is 10 o'clock my body time when I get out there,
right?
Which means by about 10:15, I should be in bed.
Yeah, so it may be a very brief
short talk.
15 minutes short talk. For the Chaldean community. I'll take some falafel and I'm going home. Jenny in Florida is next, listening on the EWTN app. Jenny, thank you for your patience waiting. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray.
Yes, hi. Hi, Dr. Ray.
Hey, Jen.
I guess the best way I can put this is, you know, for those of us who have pretty much messed up our children, what is the best
stop
antidote?
Stop it. Jenny, to, you Jenny, know, parents? Stop it. Jenny, stop it. Do not live like that. I have a question for you, Jenny. When those children were born, did you say to yourself, I'm going to see if I can mess them up? Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'm going to see if I can. Did you say that, Jenny?
No, unfortunately,
no.
The circumstances what, really did.
Yes, I know, sweetheart. Whatever you did, whatever happened to you, you did not do with ill intent. You did it out of humanness. You did it out of struggles. Maybe you weren't Catholic yet. I don't know. But the last thing you need right now, my dear, is to lose your peace because you look at those grown kids and you say, I ruined my children. No, do not do that. You did what you knew at the time in your human weakness. Please go ahead now before I really get mad at you. Go ahead, dear.
That's fine. No, it's just that, you know, when you have somebody, you know, an older child who just struggles with anxiety and perfectionism and just so many, you know, crosses that are weighing them down, it's hard, you know, to think that, you know, there's something lacking in their development, that they struggle to live life, you know, and you want
hey,
to
Jenny,
do that for your children and you want to see
got
them
a question,
succeed.
Jenny, I got a question for you, okay?
Yes, sir.
Did Christ get everybody to follow him?
No.
Did Christ get most people to follow him?
No, he didn't.
No, that's right. So he was perfect. He was sinless. He could perform miracles. He had a perfect understanding of human nature. So what was wrong with Jesus Christ that he just couldn't get through to those people? Jenny, your daughter is influenced by three things. One, her upbringing. Two, her wiring, her inborn personality. And three, this incredibly soul misshaping, seductive culture. You're not the only factor, Jenny. Understand that. Your daughter is who she is, and you did what you could to react to her and try to shape her, but you gotta stop blaming yourself unless you think you're better at this than Christ. And then if you think you're better than Christ, then you can blame yourself.
Okay, so, I mean, so what do we do as parents? Do we just pray for our children? I mean, what do we have to
do? Well, you keep up the relationship. You
don't suffer.
Okay, right. You don't write her off. You don't shun her. You don't avoid her. You keep up the relationship to the degree she allows. I mean, she may reject you. And if she does, you can't do anything about that. But at this point, you recognize that if she doesn't want to hear your guidance, then you pretty much keep your guidance to yourself unless she asks for it. Same thing with grandparents. I have children that are living their lives in ways that I'm not real pleased about. All right. I can't do a whole lot about that. I can love them as they are, who they are, where they are. And if they ask for my help, I can do that. May not give them financial help if they're not going to be responsible. But I'm just there to love them and to pray for them. And I cannot tether my peace to the decisions they make because then I am totally held emotionally hostage. And Jenny, I don't know about you, dear, but I don't want to live my life like that.
Jenny, thank you very, very much for the call. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. Our number is 888-318-7884. Your calls and questions are welcome. And we go now to Alan in Vancouver, Washington, listening on the great modern day Catholic radio. Alan, go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray.
Thank you. It's a comment, but I want to just say a hearty amen to Dr. Ray for you're a better parent than you think. I still am the single father of three children. They're all grown and out of the house. But about 2 years ago, visiting with my 25-year-old son, he told me, he said, you know, Papa, you weren't the best parent. And I never claimed to be the best parent, but he said, you know, you did things you ought not to have done. But he said, when I reflect on it, if I hadn't done what I did, you wouldn't have done what you did. And I mean, you don't always get that confirmation from children. I have a good relationship with all three of them. His sisters have not confessed the same thing, but it was comforting to hear. So just a hearty amen that you're better than you think you are.
Alan, that shows a lot of mercy on the part of your son. So many adult children have no mercy for their children. They have, or for their parents. They have no tolerance. They have no understanding. They don't forgive. Instead of saying, my parents did the best they could. My parents are who they are. My parents had their own struggles. I understand that. Maybe that made my life tough. But our Lord, when he said, honor thy father and thy mother, there's no asterisk there that said, unless they're good people, unless they did a fine job, unless they're admirable. So kudos to your son for being so insightful.
And thank you for what you do on the radio.
Yes, sir. They pay me.
What? Wait, I'm just finding out about this. What?
Yeah, they don't pay you, Si.
Oh, my goodness. This changes everything. Why is Chris Check leaving? 888-318-7884 is our number. Alan, thank you very, very much for that call. We have Dr. Ray Guarendi with us, and we have time to take you if you want to pick up the phone and dial. You got a question for Dr. Ray, or you got a comment like that last caller. You're very welcome here. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. All right, in the middle of the book is a chapter called KISS. K-I-S-S. I assume that this chapter is about the Gene Simmons-led rock band with the fantastic makeup. Is that correct?
Well, I want to make an observation as being a radio guy for 40 years. The fact that you came back to me means you have no callers. That's what that means. Well, unless you are ignoring all those people on the line, essentially you have no callers.
I've turned them away. I said, no, Dr. Ray is mine for the next 7 minutes. You people, go away with your parenting problems.
Keep it short and simple. KISS. Keep it short and simple. We complicate discipline. We complicate parenting. You know, you've seen the parent who puts the sticker system on the refrigerator because she's going to put a sticker every time little Dawn makes her bed.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you go and you see that sticker system, and after about 3 weeks, it's dead. You know, that is the sepulcher. The refrigerator is the sepulcher for dead sticker systems. And that's what happens because it's too complicated. We're not accountants. I tell parents, keep it very simple. You want her to make her bed? You just simply tell her, honey, I need your bed made, and your privileges don't start until it's made. Okay, that's very simple. That's not complex. A simple thing. My wife did this one time. The kids were fighting over cereal. You know what happened, Si. They measure it out with the calipers, and you got 3.5 more flakes than I did, etc. So they're grabbing the box. They rip it apart. It goes all over the floor. The next time my wife went to the grocery store, she bought nothing but cornflakes for 1 year.
Wow.
Do you think they fought over cereal after that?
No,
I did.
That was the end.
I did. I said, honey, I'll give you 50 bucks for one box. 50 bucks for one box of Golden Grahams. Come on.
Yeah. That's, man, I just don't think many parents, or maybe many will, but there are many parents who will not give themselves permission to do that. They just will not give themselves permission to do the simple, obvious thing.
You know what else I learned too? I learned, and I knew this as a clinician, but I saw it with my own children. Strong-willed is the most overused adjective to describe children. By far. There are variants. Oh, he's a challenging child. Oh, she's got a mind of her own. 8 gone on 18. She's 8 gone on 18. Difficult child. I tell parents, difficult child is redundant. I tell people I didn't have any difficult children. I didn't have any strong-willed children. Why? Because their mother was stronger-willed. We have so many strong-willed kids out there because the big people have lost will. We're not sure of ourselves, so we look at these kids who push on us, and we say, boy, oh boy, oh boy, why are they like this? Why don't they listen? Why don't they cooperate? Well, we have to teach them to cooperate through being firm, loving, and following through. That's not mean. That's kind.
888-318-7884, the number. Sandy in New York, however, is next up. I've run almost everyone else off, Sandy, but I'm going to let you talk to Dr.
Call.
Ray.
Hey, Cy, a call is pouring in.
It's pouring in right now, the old talk radio joke. A call is pouring in. Go ahead, Sandy.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Hey, Sandy.
Hi, Cy.
So, hi, Sandy.
Dr. Ray, I don't know if you remember me. I used to email you back and forth about your humility award. I was just wondering if you had a chance to frame it and put it on the wall in the entry yet.
Sandy, don't try to trap me with that. You know as well as I do, if I put that humility award up, I lose it. That's the only way you win the humility award. You can't accept it. That's right. Good try to trap me. Who put you up to this? Teresa Tomeo?
I called to agree with you. So one of the hardest things I think as a grandparent that I had to face was when my children became adults, I had to take my hands off and trust that I had done the best that I could to equip them to be, you know, adults in the world. And when my grandchild was born, my first, now we got our ninth coming, I remember her coming to me and crying, you know, and she wanted me to coddle her when she was in trouble with her mother. And right there, I made a decision. Based on what you told me, I told her, you need to listen to your mother.
And I'll tell you what, dear, if you would have coddled her, you would have had one mad mother on your hands.
Oh, I know. And my daughter appreciated it because she said, thanks, Mom, one less thing in my life. Because they really have so much on their shoulders that worrying about Mom kind of getting in there, taking over, the kids are hellions and you take them out for ice cream. I mean, it's just, I would have never stood for that when they were little. So I didn't want to be that kind of grandparent. I wanted to teach her to honor her mother and respect her and listen to her. And so that came from you. So I'd have to agree. It's the hardest thing to do, but I can't tell you how many 20 and 30 somethings I meet who are like, oh, I wish you were my mother.
Well, I'll tell you what, Sandy, I think you'd have come upon that yourself. You didn't need me to come upon that. You would have realized that after about the third time that you mollycoddled him and your daughter wanted to shoot you.
Yeah. Yep. So thank you.
Oh,
you're right.
Thank you, Sandy.
It does work. It's
Thanks.
Hard, but it does work.
Thanks, Sandy. Hey, Cy, do you see how many people I set up to call in and tell me how wonderful I am?
I know.
Did you see that?
I know.
Oldest radio trick in the book.
I've never, ever had somebody call up and go, I just called because I wanted to agree with you. That's never happened in my life. So congratulations
well,
on that.
You see how she tried to trap me, though, with the humility award?
Well, yes. Yeah.
The only way you win the humility award is you can't accept it. If you accept it, you automatically lose it.
That's right. But I have noticed that, tricky. Right. But you've kept it for a long time. And I admire that you've been able to hold on.
I can't acknowledge that. I can't. But if I could, I would.
Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. The new book is called Taught by 10. It's about how he, a psychologist, a man of letters and science, was taught by his 10 children how to be a parent. You should get it right now. It's out from Sophia Institute Press. Dr. Ray, thanks for for the hour. Thank you for your help on my new quest to start lifting weights and for motivating me with your negative comments during the break.
Next time I see you, Cy, you better be buff. That's
you
right.
Ain't going to see me for a long time. Well, I can tell you right. If I see you coming, you ain't going to see me. Thank you again, Dr. Ray Guarendi. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Bye.
All right. Well, tomorrow, hey, we got 2 hours of open forum, and they're going to be good. You can call and you can ask whatever you want. We'll see you then. God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.